to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
I'm so glad you could join me for our Bible study today. I decided to do something a little bit different and record it outdoors. So hopefully this will work well. What I want us to talk about today is praying God's Word. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll explain that in just a moment, but let me start with a question. What prayers do you think that God is most willing to answer? Now, we've talked many times about the fact that God answers all prayers. It's just sometimes we think He doesn't because the answer we're looking for is yes. We want God to say yes to whatever it is that we're asking of Him. But sometimes we pray and God says no. Sometimes God says, well, yes, but not right now, later. Or sometimes He says, well, if you do this, then I will do that. But if we're looking to pray in a way that is effective and see God answer, what are the types of prayers, what kind of prayers would God most desire to say yes to? And I would propose to you that those prayers would be those that are prayed in alignment with His will. Because if it's His will that something be accomplished, something be done, something happen, then if He's just waiting on us to pray, then if we pray according to that will, it releases His power to work in that specific situation, whether it's us personally or someone else or something else in the world. Well, we have the promise of God in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, that tells us that this is exactly so. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we've asked of Him." You know, when Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, one of the key lines says to pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is how God wants us to pray, and I would say that this is the way we can pray and expect that God is going to answer with a resounding yes. But that raises a question. How do we know God's will? And that's a question we wrestle with, not just for prayer, but for our lives. There are some aspects of His will that have to do with us personally that we can only discover as we pray, seek His face, listen to His voice. A number of other factors are involved there, but that's not the subject of this Bible study. But I would say to you that, just to say a guess, 90-something percent of God's will in general and 90-something percent of God's will for us specifically can be found in His Word. Because that is where God has revealed His will to us. And that brings me to the idea of praying God's Word. If we pray according to God's will as He has revealed it in His Word, it will make our prayers very, very effective. And so we want to learn how to pray God's Word. I have done this off and on through the years, and as I was preparing this study, I was reminded I need to do this more often. Because I find that when I pray God's Word, I pray with a greater confidence, I pray with a greater joy, I pray with a greater sense that God's pleased with my prayers, and I pray with a greater sense that God's going to answer because I'm praying according to His will as He's revealed it in His Word. Now, we talk a lot about how we need to spend time in God's Word, and that's so true. I mean, that's the foundation for us to be able to pray His Word, is to spend time in His Word. We need to read His Word. And we need to realize that just reading His Word is not really adequate. And the reason why I say that is we can read something, and if we're not paying attention, if we're not focused, if we're not really trying to understand what we're reading, and this is true for anything, not just God's Word, but especially God's Word, we can just read through it, get done, and think about it and say, what did I just read? I don't know. I don't remember. We need to read with a sense of digging into the meaning of it, of trying to understand it, and understand what God is trying to communicate through His Word. That brings us to an idea that we don't talk a lot about, and that is meditation. As we're reading God's Word, we need to take time to meditate on it. Now, the word meditate or meditation sometimes has kind of a negative connotation in the Christian world, in the church world, because we think it has to do with Far Eastern philosophies or whatever. But you know what? The Bible talks about meditation all through the Scriptures, and that's what we need to do with God's Word. But what is meditation? Basically, meditation, all meditation is concentrated thinking on God's Word with the intent of understanding what it means and what it means for me and how it applies to my life and maybe even how my life should change to come in alignment with God's Word. As I said, if we just read without thinking, it won't do us a lot of good. A couple of verses that have to do with reading God's Word and meditating on God's Word and then trying to apply it to our lives and the effect that it'll have. Let me read two of them to you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, when Joshua is being commissioned to lead God's people into the promised land. God says, "This book of the law," talking about God's Word, "shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, it should always be what you're thinking about, what you're speaking, what's going on in your life, in your mind. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." So you see, the natural or the logical follow-up to meditating is to do what you learned from it. He says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You see, as we understand God's Word and apply it to our lives, in whatever area it needs to be applied, whether it's our relationships, our marriage, our family, our job, our schooling, our sexuality, our finances, how we get along with other people, God knows what's best. And when we understand what He's saying and we apply it, our lives are just going to be better. They're going to be more successful. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, puts us in a very poetic way. It says, "Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers." The same idea. If we meditate on God's Word and we reject that which is contrary to God's Word, we apply it to our lives, we will experience fruitfulness, as we see in this picture. We will experience prosperity. So how do we apply all this to praying God's Word? Because praying God's Word is one aspect of this process that we're talking about here. Basically, I would say pick a passage of Scripture, and it can be one that you are at or where you're at in your daily devotions. It could be a different passage. And then meditate over it and turn it into a prayer. Now, this is easier for some passages than others. In fact, I would say it'd probably be very difficult to do with the genealogies. So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. But I would say that the great majority of God's Word can be prayed. Now, some passages, some parts of God's Word, you can pray almost every single phrase. This would be true of the Psalms, because the Psalms themselves, many of them, most of them are prayers, and we can just pray right along with the psalmist as he is praying. Some you might need to read a paragraph, maybe even a whole chapter or a section, to find a couple of things to pray about. Let me give you some practical suggestions as you are praying through God's Word. As I said, you may want to read through the passage first to get a general idea of the flow of the passage, where it's going, what it's saying, a general idea of the big picture that God is communicating in that passage. Read through that, meditate on it, and then here's some practical suggestions. Thank God for any promises that are there, and claim them for yourself. Now, make sure that they're promises that apply to you. Most of the promises in Scripture that God makes to His people are true for all of His people. But some are very specific. So, anyway, thank God for His promises. Claim them for yourself. Worship God for any attributes of God that you might find. In other words, if you're, say, reading through the Psalms and it says that God is loving and faithful, then you can just say, "God, I so thank you that you are loving and faithful, and that I've experienced that in my own life." And you may even want to take just a couple of minutes to talk, to think about the many ways that God has shown His loving faithfulness to you, and start listing those and just thank Him and worship Him for those. Ask God to help you change to conform to what you see in His Word. I mean, if you get to a place where it's talking about a character trait, talking about selfishness and unselfishness, you know, it'd be very easy to stop and pray, Lord, help me not to be a selfish person. Show me areas where I am so focused on myself that I'm even blinded to it, and help me to be unselfish in my love for others and my desire to meet their needs and to help them. And so that's just an example of that. Ask God to help you be obedient to the instructions you find. If God says something very specific about this is what you should do, you can look at your own life and say, well, do I do that? And if you do, you can just say, thank you, Lord, that you're helping me in that area, and I'm doing pretty good. But Lord, in any way I'm falling short, just help me with that. But if it's something that you're not being obedient in, then just stop and say, God, I'm so sorry that I've not been obedient in that area, and I pray that you'd help me to walk in obedience. And it's not easy, so I need your strength. And maybe it's a situation where you know you should do something, but you're not sure what, and you say, God, give me wisdom in that area. And then the last practical application I'd give you, there's a lot more I could do that, but I don't want to drag this out too long, is pray it for yourself or pray it for other people. In other words, don't just pray for yourself, but pray for others. What you see in God's Word, pray it for yourself, but then pray it for others. But I would also want to add a really good principle in here. Always be willing to pray for yourself what you pray for others. And I apply that in my own life, especially in areas of negative things. Like if I see somebody doing something that's really ungodly, or it's wrong, or it's selfish, and maybe the motivation for my prayer is I'm really frustrated with them. I say, God, would you change them? God, would you help them to be smarter in this situation? God, would you help them to use their money more wisely? God, would you help them to be more loving? I need to take the time to look at my own life and say, am I guilty of that? You know, if I were praying to somebody, say, well, Lord, they just really made a mess of their finances. Help them to be more wise with their finances. It'd be a good time to say, Lord, help me to be wise with my finances. You know, I may see somebody else and feel like they really made a big mistake and overlook mistakes I might make in my own life. So, again, pray these things for yourself. Pray them for others. But when you pray for others, always be willing to examine your own life and pray the same things for yourself. Well, that's a lot of practical application and such, but what does that look like in real life? Well, technically, this is the end of the instructions that I want to give you, but I hope you don't just stop the video right here and say, well, I want to do that. Because what I want to do right now is I want to work my way through three passages of Scripture, and I can't really honestly say how long this might take. I don't think it's going to take forever, but I want to apply it myself, and I want to do it on this recording so you can see how I might how I might apply this, how I might do this myself. And so I'm basically going to choose three passages of Scripture, and I'm going to read through them. Now, for the purpose of this video, I'm going to read a verse or two, and then I'm going to pray it. When I actually do this myself, I might not read a whole verse or two. I might just read a section or whatever and just start praying it or whatever. And you'll get the feel for it. And as you begin to apply this to your own life and begin to do this yourself, you'll get a feel for it. So basically what we're going to do from this point on is we're going to pray. And I invite you to join with me as I pray these particular passages of Scripture. First, I'm going to choose a real easy one, Psalm 23. You probably know it. You may even have it memorized. But I want to pray through it. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time with it. It'd be very easy to take a long time to go through this psalm. But for the purpose of our study today, I'm not going to take as long as I possibly could have. So let's pray through Psalm 23. Don't look at this just as a video to help you learn how to do it, but join with me as we pray through Psalm 23. Lord, I come to you right now, and I pray you guide my prayer, Lord, as I look at your word and as I see your truth and as I want to apply it to my life and I want to pray it, Lord God. I see Psalm 23, Lord. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. God, I thank you that a long time ago, you called me to yourself and you motivated me to respond, almost 50 years now, Lord God, and that you've been my shepherd and that I can look to you, Lord, to guide me and lead me and do all those things that a shepherd does. And I thank you that your word says, I shall not want. Lord, I thank you as I look back over 50 years that there has never been a time that I have gone without something I really needed. You haven't always given me what I wanted, Lord God, but you've always given me what I've needed. And I thank you that that's a promise, Lord God, that going forward, you will provide everything that I need. And I thank you, Lord, that you said that I shall not want. You're going to provide for my needs. I don't have to worry and I don't have to fear. Lord, it goes on to say, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Lord, I thank you that you take me into abundant places and prosperous places. I know, Lord God, I go through difficulties. In fact, the psalm will say that a little bit later. But Lord, I thank you for those times of rest. I thank you for those times of peace. I thank you for those times when nothing seems to be going wrong of any major significance, Lord. And I thank you that many times you bring me to those places. Lord, it says, you restore my soul. I just want to stop there, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you're at work in my life, in my family. You're at work in my body, Lord God. But I thank you that you work in my soul. And God, I pray that you'd help me not to be so concerned about my life and my family and all the external things. And I'll be just as concerned about my soul. And that as I look to you, Lord, you can restore my soul. When I am lacking in joy, when I'm lacking in peace, that if I turn to you, you can restore that to me in my soul. And I thank you that right now I am at peace and I am experiencing your joy, Lord God. But I pray this for some other people right now, Lord, especially with what we're going through. There are many people that are out there, maybe some that are watching this video, Lord God, that they don't have your peace in their heart right now, Lord. There is no joy. God, I pray that they would turn to you and that you would restore their soul, that you would give them joy and give them peace, Lord Jesus, even in the midst of whatever their circumstances are. Father, it says here, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God, I thank you that you have called me to a life of righteousness, and you have made it pretty clear in your word what that means. Lord, help me to walk in righteousness, because it says you lead me, but I've got to follow. God, help me to say no to everything that is unrighteous in my life. And Lord, give me wisdom to know what that is. God, deal with my heart and my conscience. Help me not to excuse sin. Help me not to excuse things that cause me to wander from the path of righteousness that you have for me, Lord God. But Lord, I thank you that you lead me in that, Lord Jesus. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God, I thank you that even though I go through difficulties in this life, some are not that big of a deal, some are very, very, very difficult, Lord. I thank you that you have promised to always be with me, to never leave me, to never forsake me, to guide me, to lead me. Lord God, that when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, you are in front of me. That's what a shepherd does. He leads his sheep. You've already gone before me. You already know what's going to happen. You're going to take me through it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that because of that, I don't have to fear whatever that is, Lord. I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear whatever that difficulty might be. Father, I thank you that your rod and your staff, they comfort me, that even in the difficulty, I can have your peace, your joy, your comfort, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, for people right now that are going through difficult circumstances, Lord. People that are going through a tough time of sickness or maybe loss of a loved one. Lord, whatever it might be, bring your comfort and your strength, Lord. It goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God, again, the difficulties I face, sometimes it's caused by people. And Lord, I thank you that whatever people may do to me, whether they do it by accident or maybe they do it on purpose, Lord, for some reason, if someone feels they have a reason to want to harm me or hurt me in some way, Lord God, that you're in the midst of that too, Lord God, and you can provide a table, Lord, a table of provision, a table of peace, a table of joy in the presence of my enemies, because your anointing is upon me. It says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Lord, I know that that anointing and that oil often in your word is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in my life. I thank you that you dwell within me and that your presence and your power is there to guide me, lead me, and empower me and to be available to me, Lord God. It finishes, Lord, in verse 6, with surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, I thank you that whatever I face in this life, that, Lord, it's full of goodness, your goodness, and full of mercy, Lord, which means, Lord God, that you don't treat me the way I deserve to be treated. You are so much better to me than I deserved. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, however it manifests in my life. And God, I thank you that this life isn't all that there is. Lord, you said that I can dwell in your house forever. Lord, I thank you that no matter what I face in this life, the good, the bad, whatever, dear God, that I have an eternity with you, Lord. An eternity of all the goodness that you've created and bring about, Lord God, without any of the sin and evil and death and pain and destruction. God, thank you that that's what my future holds. Lord, I love you today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So there you go. There's a simple sample of praying through Psalm 23. Again, could take a lot longer in certain verses depending on what's going on in my life at that time. Or whatever. Spend a lot more time praying those things for other people too. So there's one example. So you can quit now if you want, if you need to cut this short. But I want to give you another example. What about, say, Paul's teachings in the New Testament? I want to pray through a passage. Let me find it here real quick. There we go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 2. Now, if I were to really dig into this, this could turn into a really long prayer. Again, you don't have to set out with an idea that I'm going to pray a long time or I'm going to pray a short time. Just pray through God's word as God leads you. But I'm not going to make this a long prayer because, again, I'm sincerely wanting to pray this, but I want it to be an example for you today. All right? So we're going to pray through today, and I invite you again to join me, not just as a lesson, not just as an example, but would you pray through Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through chapter 5, verse 2 with me. Lord, your word says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. God, I know that when you're talking about the Gentiles there, you're talking about people who are ungodly, people who have no relationship with you. And God, I pray that you'd help me to live a life that is different from theirs, not because I think I'm better than they are, but because you've called me to a different life, Lord God. And I thank you that you did call me to a different life. So Lord, help me to not walk in any of those ways that are ungodly, that are sinful, Lord Jesus, but to walk in the way that you have for me. Lord, it says they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Father, I pray, Lord God. God, right now I just want to stop and pray for those that don't know you, Lord, because this is true of them. They are darkened, Lord God. They don't understand. Maybe they've chosen not to understand. Maybe the enemy's blinded them. They're alienated from that life. I thank you that I have that life. You've given it to me, Lord God. But I pray, Lord God, I'm not going to mention any names right now, but of the people that I know and that I love and that I care about that don't know you, they've not made that choice to follow you. Father, open their eyes and may they turn from the futility of their thinking and turn to you, Lord Jesus. Father, it says it's because of ignorance. Lord, I pray that you'd help me in areas where I'm ignorant. Ignorant of your word, ignorant of your will, ignorant of your way. Lord, teach me. It says, due to their hardness of heart. God, I have a relationship with you and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you'd help my heart not to be hard toward you, toward your truth, toward other people. God, soften my heart. Lord, each and every one of us have areas where we've surrendered to you and you've done a work in our heart. But there may be areas where we're holding on. Lord, any area where I'm holding on to my own thoughts, my own desires, Lord God, contrary to what you have, it's an area of hardness of heart. God, soften my heart. Show me those areas that need to be softened, Lord. So it goes on, it says, they have become callous and have given themselves over to or up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Again, Lord, such a strong characterization of our world. All about feelings, all about sensuality. And Lord, in my flesh, Lord God, I know that I can be drawn to that. Lord, help me to walk in purity. Help me to walk in purity of mind, Lord God, and in purity of heart. Help me to say no when the enemy wants to bring things my way, to draw me away from that, to draw me into impurity, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray that my life would all be about pleasing you and the path, walking in the path you have for me, Lord God, and not what my flesh says. Verse 20 says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Lord, I thank you that I have come to know Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. God, I've had the privilege of knowing you for almost 50 years, but Lord, there's still parts of my flesh that rise up. Parts of that old self. Lord, help me to say no to my flesh. And in any way that is contrary to your spirit. Help me to put it off, just like Paul is using this example of taking off old, dirty clothes, Lord God. Help me to put off anything that is not pleasing to you. And it says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God, help me to become more like you. Help me to, after I've taken off that old self, that old yucky stuff, I thank you that you bathe me in your word, Lord, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And God, help me to put on that new self, Lord. You said, I'm a new creation in Christ. Help me to live that out, Lord Jesus. Lord, in my mind, Lord God, may I guard my mind, Lord Jesus. And God, it says true righteousness and holiness. Help me to walk in righteousness and holiness. Help me to know what that is, what it looks like, so I might live it out. It says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. God, help me to be a man of honesty and integrity and truthfulness, Lord, to speak the truth. But when I do, help me to speak the truth in love, Lord. Help me not to allow lying and deceit to be a part of my thought process and the things that I would say and do. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. God, I pray that I'd be angry about the things that you're angry about. And everything else, Lord, help me to just not be angry. It's not easy. But God, I pray that when I am angry, that I would respond in the right way. And I pray that I take that energy that comes from the anger and use it to seek you and to seek what is good, to seek what is right, to seek a solution. And in my anger, Lord, help me not to sin by saying something I shouldn't say, by doing something I shouldn't do. Then give no opportunity to the devil. Oh, Lord, help me not to open up doors where the devil can step in and tempt me and cause me problems, Lord Jesus. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. God, I don't think of myself as a thief, but I pray that you'd help me, Lord God, to be honest in all of my dealings, Lord God, with everybody and every situation. But Lord, help me to be a hard worker. Lord, that's the other part. Help me be a good hard worker. Help me to use my time wisely, Lord God, as I'm working to do things as the pastor of this church, as I'm doing other things, Lord. Help me to just use my time wisely, Lord. Doing honest work with my own hands, that I might have something to share with anyone in need. Lord, may I not do what I do just to provide my own needs and my own wants, but so that I would have resources, Lord, time and money and energy and abilities, Lord God, to use for your purposes. And one of those purposes being to help other people in need. Lord, give me a heart to desire to do that. And Lord, help me to be aware of other people and their needs and how I might be used by you to meet those needs. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. God, help me to be careful with what I say. Not just in truthfulness like I already prayed about. But Lord, may everything that comes out of my mouth be pleasing to you. Lord, may I never say anything, Lord God, that would be shameful, that would be harmful. God, it says, only as such as good for building up. Lord, I pray that I'd be an encourager. That I would speak a lot of things into people's lives that would encourage them and build them up, Lord. It says, as fits the occasion. Lord, sometimes I don't know what the right thing is to say. I pray, dear Lord God, that you would help me to know the right thing to say in every situation, Lord God, as I trust in you. That it may give grace to those who hear. God, I pray that my words, and not just when I'm teaching and preaching, but my conversations, Lord, may it shine forth your grace and enable your grace to flow into other people's hearts and lives. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed with the day of redemption. Lord, going back to what I've already said, Lord, help me, Lord God, to live in such a way that it doesn't bring grief to your spirit, Lord, that it doesn't shame you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. God, show me if there's any area where I've allowed bitterness and anger and wrath, slander to be a part of my life. Help me to put that away, Lord God. And malice, wanting bad for other people. Lord, sometimes in my flesh, if someone hurts me or does something, I just wish they'd get what they got coming to them, Lord. Get what they deserve. God, help me not to be filled with malice, but instead mercy and grace. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. God, help me to be a kind person. Lord, sometimes that's easy to do. But Lord, when I'm frustrated, when I'm irritated, when I'm uptight, Lord God, it's easy to say or do things that are not very kind. Help me to be kind, Lord God, and show me when I'm not, Lord. Work in my conscience, Lord. May, if I say an unkind word or do an unkind deed, Lord, may it immediately strike me in my heart so I can change. Help me to be tender-hearted, Lord God. Help me to forgive others, Lord God. I thank you for your forgiveness. It says, forgive as you forgave me. God, thank you for your forgiveness. You forgive me of so much. Help me to be forgiving of others. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. God, help me to become more and more like you, more and more like Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray that people would see you in me, your love, your mercy, your grace, your impact on my life. May people see Jesus in me. May people see me and say, I want what he has. And walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. God, help me to walk in love. I pray that everything that I would say, everything I would do, would be motivated by love, your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So there's another example of how to pray God's word, taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 2. I was going to give you another one, but I think that's enough. I was going to take you through praying through Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 16, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' Beatitudes, blessed are, and he lists a bunch of character traits, and you could probably already see how you'd apply that. Lord, may those character traits be true of me. May they be growing in me. And it goes on to talk about being salt of the earth and light of the world and be so easy to pray. Lord, help me to be like salt in this world, bringing flavor, causing thirst in people for Jesus. Again, just different ways of doing that. But I want to challenge you to do something. I did this one time all in one setting, and it took me a long time. So you may not be able to do it all in one setting, at least not very often. But pray your way through the Sermon on the Mount. Talk about having a lot of things to pray according to God's word and according to God's will that will change your life or at least get you thinking that way. Pray through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And again, if you want to do the whole thing, set aside a good portion of time to do it. But you may just want to decide to do that over the course of a week. Just take, you know, a little bit at a time each day and pray your way through the Sermon on the Mount. But not just the Sermon on the Mount. I hope you can see now that you can pray through most of Scripture without too much difficulty. And as you do, you can know you're praying God's will, and that should give you confidence in prayer. And I believe that you'll see more answers and more effectiveness come from your prayers. And again, keep in mind, I've been focusing a lot on praying these things for myself and these examples, but pray these for yourself, but pray them for other people too. And again, remember, always be willing to pray for yourself, whatever it is that you pray for other people. Anyway, I hope that this Bible study has been helpful to you, that it may lead to some habits in your life and your personal devotion that will add more power and confidence to your prayer and draw you closer to the Lord. God bless you, and I'll tell you what, let me close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together to look at this idea of praying your word. God, I pray that you'd help us to apply this in whatever way you want us to, Lord God. However we choose to go about praying, Lord, help it to be effective because we're praying according to your will as we understand it. Father, I pray you touch each and every person who sees this video, work in their lives, draw them closer to you, help them to become a prayer warrior, become a better prayer warrior. Help them to have a better understanding of your word and to grow in their understanding of your word and of your will and to live that out, Lord God. And Lord, in the areas where it's difficult, give them the strength that they need because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within them. God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.